to come and just share a message today with Palm Sunday being the holy day we celebrate today. But I thought I'd get started by, being completely real and honest. That's one of the things we try to do around here at New Hope, is just keep it real. And so I was getting ready, this week, getting ready for today, and even this morning as I was getting dressed to come in and to preach, I had this laundry basket sitting in my room, and it was sitting next to my closet, because when I come into my bedroom, I turn to the right, and then right there is my closet. And my wife, Leslie, she's been so good. We've been married for a little over 20 years, and she has been so good to keep our laundry going and keep us in clean clothes. And man, I'm grateful for that. And she always will fold it all up, and she'll put it in a basket. And of course, we know what that means, right? I mean, we got to put it away. And yet, I'll tell you what, for years, I would, and I did it again today, I would walk right in, and I would see it, but I didn't see it. And I would just keep on going, and then I'd leave and come back, and I'd see it, but I wouldn't see it. And I was talking with Leslie and about that, and it's kind of like the whole thing where, for me, I see the laundry basket too, and yeah, where do my clothes end up? A lot of times on the floor, right? It's like you see it, but you don't see it. And so that's enough ribbon on me, maybe. But let me throw one out for our parents today. See if you've gone through this before. You're talking to your kid, and you go, "I know you hear me, but are you listening?" Right? And you go, "Were you listening to what I said?" And they say, "Yeah." And they go, "Well, what did I say?" And they go, "Well, I don't really know, because I heard you, but I really wasn't listening." And if you're sitting there, don't be, elbowing the kids on that one, right, if they're with you this morning. But, I've had that even when I was an adult and working. I'd be sitting at my desk working, and my boss would come in and say something, and I was so focused on what I was doing that I'd hear them, but, I really wasn't listening that closely. And then it'd come back to bite me later because I messed something up that I was supposed to do. But it amazes me how real that is, for, I think, for a lot of folks, because we can see something, but we don't really see, and then we can hear, but we maybe aren't quite listening to what's being communicated, and then sometimes we can know something, but we really don't know it. And I wanted to approach that today, because when I think about where we're at in our country, our nation, and our communities, and just everywhere across the world, that I think that's something that's very real for us. And so I wanted to use the Palm Sunday story today and approach it from that angle and talk about that, and hopefully that what we see in that story will help be an encouragement to us in the midst of what we're going through today as a people with the virus that's all around us. And so let me just jump right into the Gospel of Mark this morning and take you to Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to use one of these archaic books, just being funny. But I want to use this morning. And in Mark chapter 11, I'm going to break it down in three little segments over these verses. I'm going to read them all, but I'm going to read them in chunks real quick here. And so I just want to start with the first verse in chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. So let me start, just sort of stop right there. Sorry, let me stop right there for a moment. In that moment, one of the neat things about them being at the Mount of Olives is that the Mount of Olives actually sits a little higher than Jerusalem. So if you're up there at the mountain and looking out over Jerusalem, you kind of have this elevated position. And so Jesus is there with them, and he's looking out over Jerusalem. And one of the other gospels says that as he did that he had this feeling of sort of grief, because he saw the people, but he knew that they didn't see him for who he really was, that he was God in the flesh. He was the true Messiah, and he was there for them. Man, they just weren't really seeing that too well at all. And some were getting it more than others. And it just broke his heart, because what he saw, they weren't really seeing. Now, let me jump into the next few verses. Verse 2. So Jesus told those two disciples, he said, "I want you to go to the village ahead of you, And just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and they found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. So let me stop right there. So here, what does Jesus do? He says, all right, I want these two disciples, I want you to go over here and I want you to get this colt that no one's ever ridden, and I want you to bring it to me. And so they do that. And Jesus gets on it. And it's a pretty powerful moment actually in this story, because in that very moment, what Jesus actually, what he does is he assumes this role that he is the Messiah, that he really is the king that they're waiting to come, that would deliver them. But when he assumes that role, he does so on the back of a donkey, of a colt, and instead of riding on a horse, which was the real prominent thing to do in the day. That's what royalty did. And when you did that, what you had a huge display of power and all sorts of people around you, the grandeur of the moment, that you know you were the great king. But Jesus doesn't take that approach. That's what they would have been anticipating a king to do. But he comes in as a lowly king and gives a whole different message about his kingdom and about who his people are to be. And so they see the moment and they see a Messiah. And factually, the prophet Zechariah had said that the king would come to them. And yet they just don't fully see and understand the whole weight of what God is doing in that moment. All right, let's finish out the passage. Verse 8. So many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Now the branches, those are actually a sign of, it was a cultural thing that folks did. There was a sign of victorious celebration. So they're seeing this moment as a big win for them with their king coming in. Verse 9. So those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And so you have this great celebratory moment by this big crowd of people that are there with Jesus in that moment. And even in that moment, they hear the other people around them shouting this, and the right, but they don't understand, again, the whole picture for what Jesus really communicating in that moment and what he's going to be doing later in that week as he's going to go to the cross for us all. And then be raised from the dead on Easter Sunday for us all. They don't fully get and don't fully see and understand the weight and what God is seeing in that moment. That's a powerful, powerful message coming out of this story on Palm Sunday. Well, I thought I would ask a special guest to come and help me out this morning. And so I'm going to ask her to come right now. And so I'm going to move this off to the side here for a moment and ask my daughter Hope if she would come on in here, hon. She's going to come in and we're going to do a little exercise this morning. I'm so grateful you're coming to help us this morning. Let's tell everybody hi. Yeah, hi. So, Hope, here's what I'd like for you to do. If you would, take your hand in a second and hold it up to your face pretty close, and then kind of take notice of what you see and what you don't see, and then I want you to tell us, what do you see and what don't you see, right? So let's go ahead and do that. So I'll kind of do it with you. Kind of hold your hand up close to your face there, all right? So just thinking about, what do you see and what don't you see? All right, so what do you got for us?
I see my fingers. I see some of the lines in my hand, the creases, some of the sides, and some of the veins. I don't see, well, like around me, because it's all blurry because I'm focusing on my hand.
All right. So you can see what's in front of you pretty good in detail. But then, if I understand you, the stuff around you and on the other side of your hand is kind of hard to see. Like you can't see everything. Is that what I'm hearing? You rocked it. You nailed it. Give me five. All right. Tell everybody bye.
Bye.
Bye. Awesome. All right. You can go hang out over there. Thanks, girl. I wanted to do that today, one, because I just, you know, we're Worshipman's families, and so I'm just having my family helping out. In fact, my son Drew, he's working the camera this morning, and so I want to get Hope in here. And I was thinking about, you know, that old thing of holding your hand in your face, and, you know, that just kind of reminded me of the kind of where life is right now, you know, because I was thinking about all the restrictions and, you know, the isolation of that, you know, that we're supposed to maintain, and, you know, the distancing and the businesses that have closed down. And there's so much that we can't do now that we used to do. And it's just so different. And it's so in front of you. It just, you know, it's consumed all sorts of media. And it's just right in front of you. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, because it is pretty dangerous. And we do need to respect it. And we need to be wise in the things that we do today, because we look out for the well-being of others around us and in our own homes, our families. But at the same time, it's also helpful for us, if we are people of faith, that we recognize what's in front of us and we see it, but we don't allow fear to consume us in the midst of what is right in front of our face. You know, I can tell you, there's been times in my life, I remember especially when I was younger and kind of starting out with a career. And there were seasons where, you know, my wife and I, we weren't making a whole lot of money. And so, you know, I can remember times when she and I worried about, you know, are we going to have what we need to be able to pay our bills this month and the next month? Because you know what's coming, right? Have you been there? Like, you know what's coming and you see what you got and you're trying to figure out how is this going to work? And fear can easily just set in, because that just, it's discouraging, and it's just a staring you right in front of your face, and it's hard to see beyond that. You know, there's been times where, even for preaching, wondering, people are going to connect with what I'm saying? I don't know. You know, I think I'm doing an okay job, but are they really going to connect and hear? Is it really going to impact anybody? I don't know. And that fear of, am I doing this wrong? Am I not doing a good job? And that can just stare you in the face, right? And so you just can easily find yourself becoming discouraged. I know I wrestle with that. You know, just sort of despair, just really worrying. A lot of anxiety can start to bubble up, if you've ever had to wrestle with that. Even feeling depressed, hopeless. And I just, it's such a real thing that so easily can just creep in. And I know it has for me. And I thought that maybe that was something that might resonate with you. And so I wanted to use the story today from the Gospel of Mark to help encourage us if that might be the case. And I wondered if maybe it could be, because, you know, we've been in this thing, at least here in southwestern Indiana, we've been wrestling with this virus and the changes of life that have come for us for about 3 weeks or so. And so, you know, it's about that time where, you know, I'm watching, listening to folks who are grieving and they're just the changes and wrestling with how they feel and being just really discouraged and almost depressed in some manner, and just so, and sometimes even angry, because they just, you know, you want it to change and it won't go away and you can't make it be undone and you can't stop it. And you just really get fed up with the whole thing and just want it to go away. And you know, you can't make it go away, and you have to ride out the storm. And it can be the virus, it can be finances, it can be you know, marriage, it can be at home with a job, it can be all sorts of things. And I think this story encourages us, no matter what it is that we're going through, and it feels like it's just slammed right there in our face, and that's all that we can see, and it's causing us to struggle in life. And so I want to use this story to point out to us, you know, when I was looking at this story, I wanted to say, well, let me look at Jesus. Always a good idea, right? Go look at Jesus. And as I'm looking at Jesus, I'm thinking, okay, what's he doing? What's he saying? And I'm listening and just watching that and trying to picture that in my head. And I'm noticing that, you know, when he's doing this, that, you know, first off, he looks out and he sees the whole community. And he can look down, he can see that most of the community of Jerusalem. And as I mentioned before, he sees the people and there's a sense of grief and there's the sense of compassion because he loves them and he knows what's coming. And they don't see it. And he knows who he is. And they're not understanding it completely. He knows it's going to come their way. He knows that by grace, he's going to do a great work in the world. They just don't see it yet. And I thought, okay, just looking at what's happening with, Jesus telling his disciples, go get the donkey and bring it here. And then he sits on it. And how he sees and he knows that he could lead them as a king. In fact, he knows that he will be the king. He's the king of God's, of his Father's kingdom. And he's inviting and wanting people to come be a part of that kingdom through believing in him. And he knows he's right to be the Messiah. But he wants them to understand that his kingdom is not about power and it's not about pride and it's not about might and shows of elevating oneself over somebody else. But it's really the opposite of those things. It's a kingdom about humility, and it's a kingdom of service. It's a kingdom of compassion, and it's full of patience and trusting in God that he knows and that he sees and that he understands way beyond what we see, hear, and understand in any given moment that we're going through. And so I thought about the people there praising, right? Saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And thinking in that moment, God knows that he's able to handle what concerns us today. And he knew that too, in that moment. The people struggled to see that in that moment because of the crisis and what they so were wanting and longing for politically and religious-wise in their community and the social injustices that were happening in the day. And they were so focused on that. And they were so wanting change, they struggled to see what Christ was bringing to them, even all the way through the Passion to the cross, right, where he's crucified. He knew too, I think this is right, I really do believe that Jesus knew in that same moment, right, there on Palm Sunday, that he knew that, because he knows what's coming, and he knew that they would be a stronger community on the other side. He knew they were going to go through a lot of hardship. He knew that they were going to struggle. He knew that they were going to be sad, that when he died, they were going to grieve because they would feel like their hope for their struggles to go away had just perished. And yet he knew that that was not going to be the end to the story. He knew that there was more. He knew they would come out stronger on the other side if they would walk by faith and not by sight, as they walked through the crisis they were going through in their life that day, in that season. And that hit me this week. Because I think about, Paul's words were in 2 Corinthians. Actually, it's in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where he says, walk by faith, not by sight. And I thought about that, and it hit me. I've taught on that verse. It hit me in a new way, in a fresh way, that, faith and peace, that they're connected together. And that's why it's so important not to walk by sight all the time. That faith is trusting in what you're hoping for and it's being certain of what you can't see, Hebrews 11:1. And ultimately, that's pointing to Christ. And it's pointing to this cross that we have here, actually, that I want to come over to. And something New Hope that we try to do every week is we try to remember how the cross and the message that it gives us connects to our faith and hopefully will encourage us. And I think that, when we look to the cross and we remember Jesus Christ who went to the cross to die for the sins of the world so that we could have our sins forgiven and have a hope for a relationship with God, who is our Creator, that the message of this cross invites us to believe by faith that God has done a work and is still doing a work that we can't fully comprehend. we can't fully know every aspect of it. And thus, we're called to believe by faith. That through believing in the Savior who went to the cross, that truly we do have hope for freedom and victory over sin and death. And of course, the cross is so powerful because the cross has to be connected to Easter Sunday, which of course is next Sunday, that our Savior, who was crucified, died, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And because of that, we do have hope. And I don't understand the mystery of how all of that works. I don't even pretend to. But by faith, I choose to believe that God is at work. He has been, and He's still going to be at work. Because when I look at this cross tells me that God has already been at work on our behalf, and that what He's done through this cross is still at work in people's lives today. He's still saving people today. And I believe there are going to be folks who are going to come to faith in the future. And the work that Christ did on the cross is going to bring salvation to them too. So Jesus has saved us. He's saving us today, and He continues to save us. And of course, on that last day, He will save all who have persevered by faith. And so we want to look to this message, this gospel message the cross tells us, and hold on to that. And say, you know what? I choose to believe. And I choose to have faith that God is at work on my behalf. He has been, and He still is. And I have hope in the midst of a time where it seems like all I can see in front of me is what's happening in life right now. And yeah, it is pretty overwhelming. So with the message of the cross and in light of where we are today as a nation and in our communities and with Palm Sunday as part of a Christian holy day that we celebrate, I got to thinking, how do we take this in a way that's real simple that any of us can use to help us find some encouragement throughout the week? And here's what I thought of, and I'll be honest with you, I was doing it in my own life, and it was helping me, and so I wanted to pass this on to you in hopes that maybe it will be of help to you as well, some encouragement in the days that we're in. So here's what I did. First of all, I was thinking of Christ and the cross as I was talking about, and that message gives me hope. And so I wanted to be holding on to that and know that even though, you know, the hand's right in front of the face, the cross is always right in front of me as well. And I don't want fear to consume. I want faith to challenge that sense of fear. So that's one. And another thing is, was just trying to pray and, you know, spend time in God's Word, just trying to read and listen to what God may want to speak to me to encourage me with hope. And the third thing that I came up with was real simple, and that is I just decided, I said, you know what, let me just stop and think about what's happening around me. So in my neighborhood that my family lives in, I just sort of stopped and I just tried to watch. You ever people watch? I like doing that. People are fascinating. And so I just tried to people watch in my neighborhood, not in a weird kind of way, because that's weird, but just to see what's happening in my neighborhood around me. And so I started to notice that there were families who were walking together with their kids, their dogs, and they're just walking down the street. And then you see another family out walking. You see family riding bikes. You see I like to run, and so as I'd run around my neighborhood, I would see families hanging out in the yard and playing games and just sitting and just spending time, and folks, you know, social distancing as with neighbors, but just spending time, just talking to the neighbors, and because they had extra time, and so they're getting to know their neighbors. And it's something that I've been doing too, and I've really enjoyed. It's been fun. The second thing was this. I know the kids are out of school, and so they're at home as far as having to go to school. But sports are canceled. Extracurricular activities, I mean, those things are canceled. And there's just not much of anything that, you know, families and kids are doing outside of the home. And, of course, that's, you know, wisdom that we're practicing right now. And with that, what I've been noticing is the pace of life has just seemed to slow down. And so people aren't coming and going quite as much. People are just hanging out. They don't seem really to be in a hurry. And one of the neat things is, like, you know, folks are outside, but, you know, they're not trying to be so caught up with social media, what's happening in the world around them. It's just dialing in to being with their family and just slowing life way down. And I thought, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good. And, you know, the other thing is, I was thinking about, you know, just kind of looking out there, I got a chance to just breathe. You know what I mean? You know, when you just stop and you look and you just sort of slow down yourself and just sort of inhale and exhale, which is actually probably something pretty important that we could actually be focusing on in this time, especially if you feel like anxiety or stress is sort of rising up, just the chance to just kind of, you know, breathe in and exhale and just kind of rest for a moment and just look around you and have time to pray, perhaps. And so those are some things that I found been helping me. And one of the things that it's not necessarily like what I was doing, but as I was kind of looking at our church, and so I just want to brag on New Hope for a moment because I'm so proud of them here. One of the things that we, when all this came about, and you know, as a church, we knew we couldn't gather together because it wasn't wise for us to do that, and so we want to follow the, you know, the recommendations by the state, was that we had this sort of wonderment, how do we help folks in our church community who really rely on that Sunday morning as a time to connect with other folks? And so if they don't have that, how do we help them connect and encourage that? And so our small groups, they said, hey, we will own that. This is something that we want to do. And so we're going to connect with other folks in the church and encourage folks to connect. And every week, saying, hey, how are you doing? How's life going? How can I pray for you? What do you need? How can I help you? And I'm just so proud of our church because that's the community that we were created for. You know, family, spending time together, just slowing down, having a Sabbath sort of rest in the rhythm of our weeks. God created us for that. And so I feel like whenever we can have moments or seasons where that can be elevated and we can do that, I think that really helps us. And for me, I think that's a God thing because that's a good thing for us. Because I believe we were created to have those types of encounters in our lives and have that richness in our relationships. And so it really helps us in our homes, in our communities, in our church. And so what are those things for you? What are you seeing? What are you seeing at in your home, maybe? Or if you just stop and you look around and just watch maybe your neighborhood or stories that you're hearing, other folks are sharing, what are you finding out? What are those good things where people are connecting together, where they're sort of slowing down? They're learning how to, you know, communicate together. I thought it was just kind of, it's so true, but kind of funny that, you know, like you see a lot of married couples that are at home together a lot more, where the normal rhythm had be they're going to work. And so they don't see each other probably quite as much or even talk to each other quite as much during the day. But guess what? Now they're home. And so they have to learn, almost relearn how to communicate and have conversations that are beyond just the immediate, you know, the moment. So I don't know if you've had to go through any of that or not. But, you know, those types of things, sometimes they're a little uncomfortable, but it's good for us. Relationships are what we were created for. And this season, I think, gives us an opportunity to step back and to say, Lord, I see the hand in front of my face and I can't change what's happening all around me and what's just feels like consuming our life. But help me to see how you're still at work, even in the midst of this moment. What good things are happening that are pointing us to what you've created us to experience? How do you want to grow me during this season? How can I come out stronger as a person in my faith and having healthier relationships during this season? Lord, how can I grow during all of this? I think that's a powerful prayer. That's a powerful question. It's not something that, you know, I don't think it's something that you just take 5 seconds, you know, to try to get an answer to. I believe that's a question that takes time to just give some quiet thought to. Maybe as you go on a walk, if you can, or just maybe sitting in the front yard or at home, just sort of thinking about that and trying to listen and give God an opportunity to speak counsel and wisdom into your heart. Maybe He is wanting to say something to you that He's hoping that during this time of slowing things down, that you would listen, and in listening that you would find a deeper peace and a deeper sense of joy and be able just to slow down. And so just breathe in and breathe out and just be encouraged and sort of revived during all of this. I share this story of Palm Sunday with us today and try to bring it into the life, you know, his life as we know it in this moment, because there's a truth that the gospel wants us to know. And that is that even though there's times in life where we just see something so right up in our face and we can see it so clearly, that it doesn't mean that God's not working all around it in our midst. He is. He is at work. And I want to invite you, if you're struggling to see that today, maybe just take the chance to slow down and just look around and ask that question: what are the good things that I see in a time that seems so bad or so fearful? God, how are you at work? Help me to see that. And I believe that God can answer that prayer very easily. And it may be others that you ask that question and they may share. And so you may learn from others. And that may be an encouragement in this season. Whichever way works, I would invite you to find a way to look around and see. Above all, look to the cross. Look in your neighborhood. Spend time in prayer. If you don't have a church family, you know, that you're a part of every week, we'd love for you to be a part of New Hope. We're on this journey together. We'd love to take the journey with you as we move forward as a community of believers. And if you haven't ever had a chance to invite Jesus Christ to bring peace into your life, can I invite you to do that today? Is there any reason why today wouldn't be a great day to ask Him and to simply maybe just pray, God, would you help me today to trust in you? Because I know that you love me. I know that you're working for my good. I don't always see that. And I know that I've done some things in life that probably haven't been stuff that you've approved of and hasn't been something that maybe honored you. And so would you forgive me of that? And would you give me peace and direction so that I can follow you in the days that are ahead? You can say that prayer and, you know, however it works for you. But if you say that prayer, I want to encourage you, have hope that Jesus does forgive and that he does work and give us peace in ways that we won't always understand or see. And though we may be in a moment that is really hard, we can trust that God is at work for our good because he loves us and because you're learning to love him. I hope that today's message is one that gives you encouragement. I'm finding encouragement in these days, the things that I've shared as I think about Jesus through the story of Mark that I shared today, and I hope that you will as well. I want to pray for us today as we end this time in the Word, and if you need anything, we're here to help the best we can. Please reach out to us, you know, through our Facebook or through our website, or you can call the church or an email, and all of that is available through our homepage at nhccforall.com. Let me pray for us this morning before I end this time in the Word. Father, I thank you so much that though we don't always see or hear or understand what you're doing in our midst, that you're still working. You're working because you are, throughout history, working out your plan to save us all. And I hope that in this season that your Holy Spirit will continue to invite us, and that more and more of people in our community will see and take advantage of the opportunities to connect with others and have a Sabbath sort of rest in their schedule, rhythm of their week, and have time for prayer, time for trying to discover who you are and finding encouragement and hope through the Scriptures. And I hope that the message of Palm Sunday today, from this little different angle that I shared this morning, will be one that will encourage us to know that we're not alone in our crisis. And it's okay that we don't see everything and we don't know and we don't have all the answers. That's okay. It doesn't work that way. We don't have to walk by sight in everything. In fact, in all things, you invite us to walk more by faith and wisdom. And so help us do that by the presence of your Spirit. And I ask that your blessing will be upon all those that hear these words today, and may you encourage us and grow us in this season in ways we don't even see, all for your glory and honor. Amen.